Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. It matters what you say. Some of you, you are damaging your future by speaking so much nonsense. It's F this, and God won't. And God doesn't, and I'm dumb, and my family's never been able to. And you've got to change what you're saying before you can change what you're seeing. And listen, people talk about me in a negative way for free all the time. Why am I going to talk about myself? And I look in the mirror, and I'm like, dang, you're good looking. You're smarter than the average bear, praise God. You are better than you used to be. Not everything you're going to be, praise God. Look at the anointing on your life. You are married to an amazing woman, have two amazing kids, pastor an amazing church, have great friends. God is using you. You got to speak life into you. Because if you're not doing it, praise God, most likely somebody else is not doing it. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, four words, have faith in God. I tell you this truth, you can say, somebody say, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. This is our final message in the series, Speak. Nothing moves until you speak. How many of you have raised little kids, children? Just raise your hand. How many of you tried the nice thing for a while? It doesn't work very good. You've got to get some bass in your voice, and you've got to let niceties go by the wayside if nice thing, and you've got to start speaking where they know that if they don't move, that something's happening after the words. The mountains in your life have to know that you mean business and that when you speak, if it doesn't move, there is something that is going to happen afterwards. Turn to your neighbor and tell them nothing moves until you speak. Praise God, you may be seated in the house. Somebody say, God's not done. This is our year of Jubilee. We're in our Jubilee 50th year here at Living Way, and that's something that we want to just keep putting in front of you on our way to our conference here in October. I saw it again yesterday as I was scrolling through some social media, the power of manifesting. The world just wants you to think or wants to tell you that if you just think it, it can happen. But we have proven that that is not true, because if I could think it, I'd have hair on my head and I would be 155 pounds and muscled up. Thoughts are it might be where it starts, but there's going to have to be something that follows your thought life. And that is your word life. The thought life is where it starts. The word life is where it ends. I've been saying this for the last 5 weeks, that our thought life shapes our obedience, and our obedience determines our actions. What you think about the most is going to shape what you are obedient to, and what you are obedient to will determine what you do. There's a lot of people that come to a church like this on Sunday, and during worship or the word of God, we are encouraged to the point that we say, man, this is so good, and I'm going to make some changes. And then we find out that on Monday, it's a lot harder to do it than it was to just amen it on Sunday. I was talking to a friend of mine. It was actually Pastor Josh Rudolph yesterday, Pastor James, and he was asking for a nonfiction book recommendation. So I sent him a couple that I've read this year, and I said, I didn't really know that you read a lot. He said, well, I'm about to start the Hard 75. I said, what's that? He said, 75 days of strict diet, no cheat meals. You go outside every day, take a picture, read 10 pages a day, and you work out 75 straight days. I said, man, that sounds like a long 75 minutes. He said, they say it's life-changing. I said, oh, that will be life-changing. But I had to remind him that he plans on meeting me at Burnt Bean in a couple weeks. And I'm not on Hard 75. And so I'll have to eat his double portion. And so what I'm saying is that a lot of times it sounds good here, But then when we have to do it here is where most people, they phone it in and they push off what God wants to do today to another day. But there are so many things that Jesus says in this moment. But the first thing he says is if you want to move mountains, you have to have faith in. Faith is between your ears and between your transformed by the renewing of our and action is transformed. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue can bring death or life. So one says the tongue can bring death or life. So if you have belief in your heart and in your head, now your mouth follows and you start speaking those things that are not as though they are. Remember this, church, whatever you speak consistently becomes your reality. Whatever you say over and over, every word is a seed. And we are planting fields every day. Thousands of words are coming out of our mouth. And then we are sometimes surprised when we see the fields of harvest. And anything that you have a harvest in a field in is something that you said somewhere along the line. Charles Spurgeon said it like this, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose and it will defend itself. Once you have faith in God and you begin to speak the word of God does not need your defense and does not need my defense. We just turn that lion loose and the lion does whatever the lion's supposed to do. So we've gone through seven of these declarations. Number one, I am a child of God. I've been adopted in. You are his son. You are his daughter. He is your father. Remember this, a father's responsibility is to take care of his children, and you are a child of God. Second declaration, I am forgiven and I am free. Oh, don't get it twisted. We are not perfect. You should have seen us before Jesus. We were addicted. We were messed up. We were filled with lust. We were filled with hate. Am I in the right place today? We were so far away from Jesus, but look at what the Lord has done. And now you might knew us back then, but now we stand forgiven. And now we stand free. And when the enemy reminds you of your past, you ought to remind him of his past and of your future, that God has forgiven me, us, and we are free. Number three, I am a new creation. Remember this, people from high school or the people that you used to run around with will say things like, you've changed. And they'll mean it in a derogatory way. But what they really mean is you've grown up. You've matured. You are not like you used to be. So when someone says you've changed, don't bristle or bow up. Say, thank you. Yes, I have. And Jesus has made the difference in my life. I am a new creation. Old things are past. Behold, all things have become new. Number four, God is always with me. If you're new and you're taking notes, write this down. God's presence is permanent. I have had friends that I thought would never leave me. And they leave me. Friends that I thought were in for the long haul and 2 weeks later walked out on me. And then there's some that I thought would be gone after 2 months and it's been 20 years and they're still here. But I'm here to tell you, no matter who has walked into your life or out of your life, there is only one whose presence is permanent, and it is Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. Number five, I can do all things through Christ. We make that about us so many times. I can. No, what we really do is we allow Christ's strength to do what we cannot do in us and through us. Don't relegate that powerful declaration to an algebra test you didn't study for. Don't stand in the hallway outside of your boss's office when you've been late 6 out of 7 days and you've had a terrible attitude and he's called you in for the third time and you're standing out, oh, I can do all things. I'm not going to lose this job. Yes, you are, and yes, you should. What Paul said is, in the prison of my life, I'm not throwing in the towel. In the most difficult moments of my life, I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. His strength, his power in me will get the job done. Last week, no weapon formed against me will prosper. A woman caught Mandy and I at the end of service last week, and she said, thank you so much for preaching that, because the enemy has been in my ear and the weapon has been formed and I've been looking down the barrel of that weapon and there's so many thoughts I had. But what you said today reminded me that we are not guaranteed an easy road, but we are guaranteed victory. We are not guaranteed, this is not a denial of battle. It is a guarantee of victory. God will allow the weapons to form, but they will not succeed. All over the building today, we have not just cancer survivors, we have cancer thrivers, people that have outlived the diagnosis and the prognosis. We have people whose marriages were on the rocks and divorce attorneys had been called, but God got involved and in the situation. I am here to tell you, 2025 might have been a hell of a year so far, and you might have been looking at everything saying, can anything else go wrong? But I need to let you know, you have survived 100% of the attacks that the enemy has sent you. You have survived 100% of all of the addictions, all of the people coming and going. You have outlived. And this too shall pass. And this too will be your testimony. And this too will bring glory to God. No weapon form. And we ended last session, the Lord is my shepherd. That is a personal proclamation and declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. God is a personal God. 8 billion plus people on this earth. But when you talk to God, he listens to your voice. And with everything going on with Russia and Ukraine and Iran and Iraq and all of the Middle East, God is still listening to your bedroom, praise God, when you pray. And when your life is falling apart or you've had a bad moment and you're sitting there beating the steering wheel, but in that moment you start talking to God with everything going on, God says, I need to talk. I hear, but I'm going to talk back. The Lord is my shepherd. God is personal. God provides. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God protects. God provides, because that's what a shepherd does. God provides all I need. I lack nothing. Number 8 is where we'll start today. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. Am I in the right church this morning? I am healed by Jesus' stripes. There are churches in San Antonio that have sent their members to Living Way because those churches don't believe in healing, but we are the church that believes that Jesus took the stripes on his back so that we might be healed mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and yes, even physically. Can I just run down the gamut? My dad has been healed of cancer 3 times. My mom has been healed of cancer 3 times. My dad has been at death's door twice. God healed his heart just 12 weeks ago. My wife was born crippled, and they said she would never walk right, but here she is and walks just fine. Tyler was almost taken out 2 years ago when he lost half the blood in his body to a botched surgery, yet here he is worshiping. Jaden couldn't talk till she was 4 and now leads worship 2 or 3 times a week. Can I just tell you, it is not an accident and it is not a coincidence that a family of faith that says God can and God will has documentation. Where's Brian Mendoza? Brian Mendoza, holler out, wave at me, wherever you're at. Brian Mendoza, right here with the cowboy hat on. When I met Brian a few years ago, he had a cancerous tumor in his leg, but he sits here today in high school. God has healed him. He plays baseball. He plays football with a prosthetic leg. Let me tell you something, God can and God will. Let me bring it into this week. Not 10 days ago, I stood right here with Oscar Cardenas, and Oscar Cardenas said, I'm gonna have to go have some tests run and procedures run. I've got this growth in my body and it's not right. And he said, Pastor, you don't know this about me, but I hate scalpels, I hate shots, I don't want any of that. And he stopped me in the bed. He sent me the report today, but let me tell you something, I'm not a doctor. I didn't know what the report meant, so I didn't even respond to the text because I didn't know if we were praying or praising. And so I ran into him in the back in the back hallway right before this service. I said, Oscar, what does that mean? He said, let me tell you, you prayed and I prayed and we believed. And he said, I had surgery scheduled for Thursday morning to have that growth cut out of me. He said, I was standing in the back of this room Wednesday night, 4 days ago. And he said, while I was standing there, he said, I wasn't in a healing line. Nobody was laying hands on me. He said, I felt that thing go away. And he said, come on, somebody. He went home and he began to look, and what he was looking for, he couldn't find. He was able to make the call and say, hey, I don't need surgery anymore because the great physician went ahead and took care of me. God can and God will. Is this too much for a Sunday morning? By his stripes, you are healed. I'm talking about bipolar. I'm talking about depression. I'm talking about trauma. I'm talking about things from your past. I'm not against counseling or therapy, but I do know this, that Jesus is the great physician, that Jesus is the great counselor. I don't have permission to share it, but there's a young man sitting here today, a young father who had a cancerous report a few weeks ago, and he sits here today with his family after he has had surgery. Now listen to this, I love doctors. I go to more doctors than I've ever gone to before because I wanna stay healthy. So I love, if you're in the nursing and medical professional field, God bless you. I believe God is using you to bring healing through medicine and surgery and procedures. But I also know that the great physician can do more in 1 second than everybody else can do through 10 years of treatment. And so that young man is sitting here today post-surgery, and now they're waiting on results to see if they got everything. I am here to tell you and him, I don't know if they got everything, but I know that he's got everything. I know that you are healed by the stripes that he took on his back. You said that's okay, that's some good, loud, energetic preaching. Give us Bible. Okay, I'm glad you asked. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, were, you were healed. All those things that I told you that my family has been through medically, some of those cancers were healed through surgery. But some of them, just like Oscar, my mom back in the late 80s had a tumor growing behind her eye, between her brain and her eye. And it was growing at such a rapid rate that every day you could see her eyeball being pushed out further and further and further. It was too much of a delicate procedure that the doctor said that they could not perform surgery and that she needed to get her affairs in order. And you know what, Pastor Becky, I love Pastor Becky because she's real. She said, you know, I wanted to be healed because of the church was young and I felt like I needed to be there to help the church and to serve the church. But you know what really rubbed her the wrong way? She said, I don't want Steve marrying some other woman. I don't want another woman raising my kids. Thank you, Mom. Praise God. What she was saying is I don't want life to continue without me. And so she began to pray, and we began to pray. And she wrote a song called Whose Report Shall You Believe that has been sung millions of times around the world. Israel Houghton illegally recorded it. Yep, put that in the, we ain't got a dime yet, but we will. Some of y'all are like, why would you say that out loud? Because he won't return calls or emails. But at the end of the day, I don't care that it was recorded illegally. I just need that song to get to somebody who's sick, who the doctors have given up on and said, go home. There's nothing else we can do for you. That's basically what they did to Pastor Becky, but she sat in that room and on a Wednesday night came out and led worship with that tumor growing at a rate where it was beginning to disfigure her face. And she sat there on a Wednesday night and said, whose report will you believe? Can I just encourage somebody today? I don't know. I don't know what the report is, but I know that God is able. You were healed by his stripes. 1 Peter 2:24, the NIV says it like this. He personally carried our sins and his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Jesus didn't just pay the penalty for sin. He broke sin's power. It no longer has an effect on us. Dead to sin means you no longer belong to it. You have switched kingdoms. When you said yes to Jesus, he's your Savior. You're making him your Lord. He not only paid for the penalty of death. He not only made sure that hell to heaven was the switching of your destination. You switched kingdoms, and now that power doesn't have any power over your life. That is why one of the greatest declarations you can get used to is putting your hand on your head and saying, right now I am healed by the stripes Jesus took on his back. If you got heart problems, I am healed by the stripes Jesus took on his back. If you're arthritic, I am healed by the stripes Jesus took on his back. If you're depressed, I am healed. Mind of Christ, I am healed by the stripes Jesus took on his back. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. There's a lot of healing right there. Your soul prospers. I want you to be in health, and I want you to prosper. He said every part of prosperity has to do with healing and health that was already paid for. Jesus just didn't die on the cross. He suffered. I was thinking about this week as I was getting zoned back in for this after camp. If all it took was a perfect sacrifice, then we wouldn't have had to have the full suffering that Jesus went through, because it's just his death and his resurrection, because blood had to be shed for us to be redeemed so that we could go to heaven. But can I tell you that God loves you and I so much that he doesn't just want us to go to heaven, but he wants us on earth healed, healthy, wealthy, and wise. So check this out. He didn't just die on the cross, he suffered. Every stripe he took on his back, 39. Every wound, every moment of pain, the agony. If you've seen The Passion of Jesus, the movie, the suffering, all of that was part of humanity's healing payment. Just think about that. Sitting there in that theater 20 years ago, or however long it was, and we're seeing this depiction, and it was the most realistic depiction we had seen of the crucifixion of Jesus. And as I was sitting there, God told me, that doesn't even capture what happened. His eyes are swelled shut. His back, Bible history tells us that the cat of nine tails ripped parts of his flesh that you could see bone exposed. I thought all it took was his death, yes, to save you. But it took suffering to heal you. Well, I wish he didn't have to go through that. Yes, you and I do. Because if he hadn't gone through the suffering, we wouldn't be able to say, by his stripes. Check this out. Not by his death, that's salvation. By his stripes, you and I are healed. Which leads me to this point. The payment has already been made for your healing. You just got to declare it and believe it and have faith in God. The exchange on the cross is complete. Your healing is secured in his suffering. Jesus' physical death was a sacrifice for our spiritual healing. Jesus' suffering was a sacrifice for our physical healing. He was crucified to redeem. He was wounded to heal, and he was broken to restore. The declaration, through Jesus, I receive healing, spirit, soul, and body. I don't know what you're facing today, but in just a few moments, we're going to add our faith to whatever faith you have. We're going to anoint you. And I believe before you get to the next doctor's appointment, before the MRI or the X-ray or the CAT scan is taken, that something is going to happen in your body. And listen, I encourage you, go get the MRI, because we want documented proof. We want there to be no room. And don't let the doctor say, you made a mistake. He made a mistake. No, he didn't make a mistake. He saw what he saw, but God stepped in between appointments and healed. Declaration number 9, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Let me just help you. Not you will overcome them. You have overcome them. That was a good place to say amen. Ye little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're taking notes, write this down. Your identity is in God, not in anything else. If I ask you who you are, don't tell me where you work. That's what you do, not who you are. Just like when I ask somebody if they're a Christian, they tell me they go to Baptist church so-and-so or Pentecostal church so-and-so. That's not what I asked you. The devil goes to church. Are you a Christian? My pastor so-and-so. Didn't ask you who your pastor was. Are you a Bible-believing, spirit-filled? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you accepted his death, burial, and resurrection? Are you doing everything you can to be discipled and follow Jesus? That's the question. Greater is he that is in me. You are little children. John calls them little children, a term of affection and belonging. Can I just encourage somebody that you've been looking for your tribe and you've been looking for your people? Welcome home. This is the church for you. This is where you belong here. It doesn't matter what color you are, what age you are, what your background is. Doesn't matter if you just met Jesus yesterday or if you've walked with him for 40 years. Doesn't matter if you're raised Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, Muslim, Hare Krishna, Buddhist. None of that matters, because when we get you in here, we're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach him crucified. And we're going to make sure that before you leave this building, you have an opportunity for Jesus to reside in your life, so your declaration can be, greater is he that lives in me. You carry God the Father's spiritual DNA. I miss the Maury Povich show, because I like finding out if they were really the Father or not. You are not the Father. And then the woman just gonna start running crazy to that back couch that was always in the back hallway. When you said yes to Jesus, your history, your ancestry no longer matters, because you have a new Father. His DNA now resides in us. Oh, that's so powerful to me, because let me just tell you, I love Living Way, but we're only here in this room 2.5-3 hours a week. There's another 165 hours that I need Jesus in me. Because I go to a lot of places that Jesus is not readily accepted. But little do they know, when you invite Brandon to the cookout and barbecue, I'm bringing Jesus with me. They say, don't bring all that Jesus stuff. And here I just show up with all the Jesus stuff. And all you do is talk about Jesus. Well, all you do is talk about sex. Well, all you do is talk about Jesus. All you do is gossip. Greater is he. It's hard for me not to talk about it when it's such a strong part of my life. Greater is he that is in me. You have already overcome. It says you have overcome. The verse says you have overcome them, referring to false prophets and the spirit of Antichrist. Those people that are always running their mouth about you. Sometimes they're trying to speak for God into your life, but they haven't met God. And they want you to make a forever decision based on their craziness. In past tense, he says, you have overcome because you have already won, but not because you have already won, but because the Spirit of God who lives in you has already won. Without Jesus, I am nothing. Without Jesus, you don't even want to know me, because I am a sinner. I am messed up. I am addicted. I am so far from the man you see here today. But with Jesus, I'm a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better pastor. John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Here it is again. I have overcome the world. I have overcome, not I will. Jesus said, there's tribulation, there's trouble. Don't freak out. He said, I've overcome the world. And now we declare, same. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why do we say that? Because the God who has already overcome has stepped into our life. You're not fighting for victory. You're standing in the middle of victory. You're not fighting for victory. You're standing. We always say you're not fighting for, you're fighting from. That is true. But when we say greater is he, all of Jesus can't fit in you. He's too big. That's why when people don't understand the Godhead, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, that is why you can have Jesus in a physical body praying to a Father in Gethsemane. That is why when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, the Father's voice, praise God, booms. The Holy Spirit shows up like a dove, and Jesus the Son is all in the same place. How can that happen? Because God is too big to just reside in one body. So you have some of him and I have some of him. And so when we say we are fighting not for victory, I'm standing in the middle of it. Stand on your feet. Victory is not achieved by striving. That's human effort. It's one thing to pursue God, but to strive after human effort, that's not how victory is achieved. It's achieved by abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. I love this. Write this down. This will encourage you at some point in your life. When God is in you, you are never outnumbered. Gideon standing there with 300 men, tens of thousands of Midianites have encircled them. Gideon says, man, these 300, I hope they know how to fight. But what he didn't see was on the other side of the tens of thousands, God was behind them all the way around. Next time you go to the hospital, realize that he's not just in you. He's in the room. He's on the floor. He's in the building. He's in the parking lot. When my dad was thrown from a horse and stomped and trampled in 2013, he spent 6 days, I think it was 6 days in the hospital. Open book pelvic fracture, spinal bruising, cardiac bruising, almost lost his thumb, concussion, internal bleeding, all of that stuff. And me and my mom and my brother were there. The kids were, of course, a lot younger, so we didn't even really let them know what was going on until he was home. But I remember we just sat in that waiting room. And my mom and dad are real private, and so it's kind of a lonely feeling outside of Christ because we hadn't told anybody. It was just us. And we knew what the doctors were saying. But his mentor, a man named Kenneth Phillips, most of you will never get a chance to meet him because he's already gone to heaven. But Kenneth Phillips texted me and he said, I'm praying out in the parking lot in the shadows. And he was actually out in the parking lot praying. He says, I don't need to come in. I don't need to know what floor. I don't even know how he knew what hospital he was at. But in that moment where I felt very alone, God sent a great man of God to send a little text just to remind me, Brandon, you're not alone and you're not outnumbered. There's a God that is bigger than that situation and that room. And as I looked out that window, never saw, but it just gave me some faith in that moment. No matter what I'm going through, I'm never outnumbered. No matter what you're facing, you're never outnumbered. And I'm not here to make light of, I mean, listen, tears have been shed with a multiple cancer diagnosis. Mandy, last year, horrible health year for her. 90 days of emergency room in the middle of the night. And I'll give you a little transparency. One of our emergency room trips, she's literally telling me things to do for when she dies. And I had to preach her a little sermon through tears, like, hey, you ain't leaving me with these knuckleheads. I need you. And Tyler for sure don't want no new mama. And Jaden, holy smokes. I pray for that woman. But these moments where the worship team's not here, the preacher's not here, the church is fake. It's just you and Jesus. But realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I got one more that we'll share next week. We'll prolong this, and if I get time to dig through, I'll find some more declarations, but we got one more next week. But I want to open this altar right now. I made the announcement last week. If you've got a doctor's report, Oscar, I was going to have you come down so we could pray for you, but man, you've been healed. This is Oscar right here. I love you, bro. Praise God. Larry, love you. Natasha, love you. Andrea, love you. Pat, love you. Natasha, come on, come on. Jessica, Michael, come on. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Healing and health. Healing and health. I don't know what it is. Healing and health. Mind, body, spirit. Physical things. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to get that anointing oil ready. We're going to lay hands. Listen, we're going to have you out of here in 3 minutes. But right now, this is important. This is important. Healing, health. Oh, I feel this one so strong, and I haven't mentioned this one in a long time. Let me talk to a woman who has been struggling with infertility. This is a good church to be at. We have had so many miracles where people had struggled for years. I started this off by saying there are churches that send people to Living Way to be healed. One of those was an infertility issue at a Baptist church. And the pastor said, we don't believe in healing here, but that's Steve Fender and Living Way does. Go down there. And now that they had two children, one of which is like 35 years old. He texted me the other day talking about Living Way. If you're struggling with infertility, my prayer is that God would touch you today. He'd heal you. And that in just a year's time, 18 months time, we'll be dedicating that baby to the Lord. Come on, Hannah, fight for that Samuel. Come on, Hannah, fight for that Samuel. If you're in this altar, lift both hands to heaven. God is talking to you. God is reaching down right now. It is his touch. The great physician is talking to you, but he's also touching you with that healing touch. Right now, your head, your heart, your body, emotions, relationships, healing is coming. Healing is coming. If you would like us to bind together with you, whoever prays for you, just grab them by the hand and say, I'm here because I got a bad doctor's report. We're going to pray. Trevor, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to come down there, and that's part of my family and Tyler's family and Alyssa's family. We're going to pray the prayer of faith in Jesus' name. A good report. I've got friends right now that are battling cancer in other states. I'm standing in the place for them. I don't care whether it's done through medicine or it's a bona fide miracle. I just want no more cancer. The healing touch of Jesus can happen. If you're in this room and you need Jesus to heal you, come on, depression. There's a woman in this room today that when she started coming to Living Way, she was on 13 different medications. And now she's down to, I think, just two or three. You say, well, what about those last two or three? What about the 10 she's been freed from? If you're tired of paying copays, come on, somebody. You're tired of running back and forth for tests. Let's get Jesus to heal you and move that mountain. And then for those of you that feel outnumbered in the room, this is your moment. You walked in here feeling like Gideon, the least of the lowest. But God's going to remind you, doesn't matter how many you have with you, I am with you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you feel outnumbered, join us in this altar. Don't be scared. We're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. This is just a place for you to find Jesus and receive in this moment. If you need salvation, you've never said yes to Jesus. It's the difference between eternity with him or without him. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to be baptized in water, this is your moment. Don't wait until camps or conferences. Right here on a Sunday, I believe God will do it. Let's pray.